Magandang hapon po sa inyong lahat. Nakikita ko na nagmimerienda na tayo kakatapos. lunch pala to. Okay. Mag-ingat po tayo sa mga hyperuric. Iyak. Kasi diyan po kami nadali nung APE the past few. Pero we hope that you've enjoyed your lunch fellowship together. It's always a joy for us to see you all together. This afternoon po, we'll have one of our main teachers in staff development share his expertise with you. He's a graduate of manufacturing sciences po ang master's niya, ang bachelor's degree niya, manufacturing engineering at saka management chemical engineering. He has been a professor for about 11 years in De La Salle University and his work in Toyota and Unilever. This man about, I think, more or less 2 decades of ministry in Victory Manalate, serving as youth pastor, executive pastor, now a senior pastor of Victory Malate. He's also currently assigned to really lead our materials development team sa Every Nation. He took on the discipleship materials and the leadership development materials, or ENLI. He's married to Eva. He has 4 children, happily married, okay? And really, this man, I really deeply respect this man, and I hope that you open your hearts and listen as he teaches us systematic theology. Let's all give a warm welcome, Pastor Nixon.
Thank you, Sky, for that generous. Parang di ako yon. Generous, hindi ako naman yon. Kulit. Anyway, good afternoon to everyone. I know this is the time na yung iba sa inyo makakatulog, ganyan. So hopefully, hindi niyo ako tulugan. This is quite a different, I think Carlos also alluded to the fact that I think the configuration is quite different. I was talking to Fidel, I think the purpose was for classroom interaction more than group interaction as we go through the different lessons. Today we'll be going through systematic theology. Alam ko, excited na excited kayo. Ito yung mga masarap tulugan, you know, yung talagang makakapagpahinga kayo. Sabi nga, I find my rest. Because theology kasi is the study of God, and the Bible says, we find our rest in Him. Tama yan. And as we study, di ba? Study of God, di ba? What happens? We find our rest in Him. And I'm hopefully na pagkatapos ng lesson na to, you will come out there refreshed. Maybe learn nothing, but you're refreshed. Energized, ready to take the world. Yun naman ang importante, no? Anyway, that's the first few minutes of our lesson. Just, it's always, siguro before I start, it's always a privilege to come before you and speak. Normally, I come and teach here normally on delivery, homiletics. I also teach how to... meron ba rin ba? Ngayon na rin. Homiletics on content, creatively deliver content. That's mostly what I do. And I also teach a bit of tips on keynote, how to maximize it. No, but something that we've been talking about, me and Paul Barker, was for me to come in and start teaching theology also and Bible survey. So this is my one of the first that I will be doing. I taught this in, of course, in Malate, but now I'm teaching it to co-laborers. And I know many of you have deep respect for every one of you who have answered the call of God. I know many of you, if not all of you, have your own studies with the Word of God. And surely, I want to take this time to also learn from you. I think all of us are in a journey in terms of theology and learning more about God. I don't think there's ever a point in our life where we could say that we have arrived, no? And so I'm looking forward to a fruitful time together. If you have your thoughts, maybe you could interject so that we could hear you out and learn from you as well. Kasi I'm sure talagang pag nakikita ko yung mga mukha niyo, you are deep in the Word, you study, sabay tawan. But, you know, at least the assumption is there, ha? Di ba? We always think well of each other, na? Yun naman yan, eh. We always assume the best of one another, na? You are all innocent till proven guilty, mga ganun, ha? Okay, so, today we'll be talking about systematic theology. Before we do that, let's just start with a word of prayer. Ask God to be with us and among us. Father, we thank you again for gathering us. It is indeed a privilege to serve you. not just as individuals, but serve you together. Lord, we pray that this would be a time that we would learn, not just from you, but from one another, God. I pray that every deposit that you have placed in us would come to bear today, and that we would be able to glean from your word and from each other. So, God, thank you that this would cause growth for us. Help us to preach your word in such a way that it's firmly grounded in you and your word. So, God, thank you that today will be a time that will bring us close, a step closer, ultimately, to knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so systematic theology session one. I think you have your notes with you. It will be starting off with bibliology, the word of God, and you might be wondering why that is our starting point. Well, you know, in everything that will be taught in this class, everything is based on Scripture. And of course, if our we need to first establish our yung credibility ng Scripture, even amongst us. Dapat tayo, we are convinced about the Scripture. And so here, we'll talk about the canon of Scripture later on, the inerrancy, inspiration, all of those things. Kasi as we study about God and who God is, wala naman tayong ibang basis except the Scripture, the Bible. And that's why it's always good to start with bibliology, the study of God's Word or the Bible. In fact, I don't know if you do this, one thing that we try to do also during our Foundation for Victory class is whenever we go to the Word part, we give them a glimpse of this. Not the whole thing. Of course, meron tayong the purpose or the objective whenever we put foundation in our people is for them to have a discipline towards the Word. But I think when we teach this in Malate, we put a bit of this in there because today, the credibility of the Scripture is under attack. I mean, we could reason from Scripture, but then someone will tell you, well, I don't believe in Scripture. So they totally jettison us from that. So it becomes difficult for us to see eye to eye with them. And so I think it's best for us to start with bibliology, so start with the Scripture, so that as we firm up as we're grounded on it, then everything else will be built on that. Mabilis na lang yung iba. All right? So the outcome-based objective of systematic theology discourse is that to provide a strong theological foundation to give depth to our what? Preaching. Sino ba ito? Every Sunday, lahat naman tayo nagpipreach, di ba? So, hopefully, may lalim. Of course, okay rin naman na nag-i-enjoy sila kasi kahit gano'ng kalalim yun, pag nakatulog sila, pag gising nila, ano nga sabi ulit ni Pastor? Sayang naman yung lalim natin. So, kailangan ng konting ano naman, di ba? Saya. But, of course, the purpose of this one is depth in our preaching. Of course, clarity to what? Our counseling. All of us also, as pastors, do counseling. And it's important that every time we speak into the lives of our people, we always find it's anchored in God's Word. You know, there's a lot of ideas, psychology out there, but nothing beats always grounding direction, guidance in the Word of God. And of course, last, wisdom for our what? Decision making. I know, you know, in Victory today, we have a lot of things happening. We have organizational leadership here and there, but nothing beats decision making based on God's Word. We're still a spiritual organization, and we're still a spiritual organism, if I may, as a church. And so the Word is still at the forefront of all of our decisions. And regardless of, minsan naman, maganda naman yung mga nababasa-basa natin, we glean some wisdom from there. But ultimately, when decisions are to be made, hopefully it's always based on God's Word. And so systematic theology allows us, hopefully, to make sound decisions, because what we believe determines or directs how we behave and how we decide. Yung belief natin and behavior, there's a connection. Well, however you believe, your belief, and sometimes hindi ka na conscious sa belief, it will direct your behavior and the way you would also direct the ones you talk to and you speak to. So even the direction of our church, the way we lead our staff, it directs it. Whatever we believe. And so hopefully this class in theology would ground us properly. Okay? So what is systematic theology. Of course, before we go into bibliology, let's talk about what is systematic theology. Systematic theology is an intelligent and orderly presentation of the truth about God from the Bible. So orderly is in your blank, fill-ins, you know, from the Bible. It uses the tools and methods of biblical research to discover the accurate meaning of Scripture. So, there are other kinds kasi of theology. There's historical theology, wherein, because most of our theology, if you think about it, was born out of, in church history actually, apologetics was the first thing that came out. And then because of the many attacks on the church, we didn't have really systematic theology back then. Systematic theology was born out of because of many attacks on the church, and our church fathers, the apostolic fathers, started to organize our thoughts after they fought against the attack on our doctrines. So in effect, really, ngayon, pagka nasa Bible school ka, ang unang sa curriculum mo, ang prerequisite theology, then apologetics. But historically, when you think about it, apologetics came first. When we were under attack, we found the need to start to organize our thoughts and think rightly about our doctrines. And so theology came about. Pero ngayon, pinag-aaralan mo siya, baliktad na siya. But historically speaking, so meron kang tinatawag na historical theology. Theology, hindi siya systematic. Historical ang tawag. Pag yun ang inano mo, it's like church history and theology in one. Diba, normally, pag systematic theology, Trinity is one chapter. And you talk about the Trinity, all the scriptures. Pero pagka historical theology ka, the approach is, you'll talk about the Nicene Creed, you'll talk about all of the Constantinople Creed, all of those creeds first, Nicene, lahat yun pag-uusapan nyo, tapos dun mo sasabi, kaya nagka-Trinity tayo. So, may ano siya, actually maganda sa kanya is, What one thing me and Paul were trying to think through is how to really, it's a very good approach. Ngayon kasi ang mangyayari, you have a separate class on church history. You have a separate class on theology. So ang nangyayari, tinatry mo i-connect yung dalawa. Kasi later on, ikukwento rin naman sa inyo yung nangyayari and what doctrines was born out of certain meetings, of certain discourses. Tapos makikita niyo, dito pala nag-born out yung theology nito. Pero systematic theology is different. It's like a topical approach. Kunyari, about Christ, Christology, everything is in one category. It's kaya nga systematic kasi it's neatly categorized. Meron naman tinatawag na biblical theology. We will see the development of a doctrine as throughout the Bible naman. So, iba-ibang approach ang theology. Dito lang, chinoose natin ang systematic theology because it's easier to put into compartments. Mas mabilis siyang i-grasp, tandaan, kasi organized na siya. Okay, rather than nagkukwento-kwento ka at sabi, kaya naging ganito to. Kasi nagkwento ka muna. Although may value yon. So, at this point in time, in our movement, what we do is we have church history and we have systematic theology. And what we're hoping in the future is that we will have notes on both where we connect. Kasi minsan, we leave it to you. We leave it to you to connect it. But we, in reality, there is a way to have inserts in the lessons to show you that this one was developed in this time because of such. And so, ito pa yung maganda doon. Whenever you know context of how the theology came about systematically, it's better remembered. Kasi alam mo yung context eh. Ano ba yung pinag-awayin nila? Ano ba yung pinag-didebatehan nila? Kaya lumabas to. Ano ba yung pinaglalaban nila noong time na yon? Alright? So, and most people believe historically that it was Justin Martyr who started to systematize our theology. So, that's the historic background of this one. But again, just to give you an idea that whenever we study theology, there are many approaches. It's just that for our purposes, we chose systematic theology. This is just to help expand lang yung ano niyo, yung mind you about theology. That there are many ways to go about it. So again, theology comes from the word theos, which is God, and logos means the study or logic. So we try to make sense, no? Although we will find out in many doctrines later on that it goes, it's not that it's, whenever people say, you know, some of the things we study, like the you know, Jesus Christ being fully God, fully man, and the Trinity, man, parang minsan, it's beyond us. It's so hard to explain. But we always say it's not against reason, it's simply beyond reason. Okay? Kasi mostly people, they will accuse us Christians. Against reason kayo. Hindi kayo nag-iisip. No, it's not against. Not because we cannot grasp around our heads around that. It's already against reason. It's simply beyond it. There's a big difference between beyond and against. And beyond revelation means this, that God somehow, when He reveals Himself to us, there's what you call progressive revelation. That what did not make sense to you or logically make sense to you at one point in time in your life or in your ministry, suddenly 5 years from now, it makes sense. Why? Because by that during the time, it was beyond, simply beyond. God has not really progressively given that to you somehow. Pero tayo, ang faith lang natin is, God, whatever you have revealed to me now, I will respond to it. And I always tell people, do not let what you do not understand stop you from responding to the things that you do understand. Kasi minsan yung excuse ng mga tao, hindi ko naiintindihan eh. Tapos biglang, lahat na naiintindihan, pati yung mga naiintindihan niya about the Bible, hindi rin niya gagawin. Hindi ko naiintindihan ng Trinity eh. Magiging immoral na ako. Saan ang galing yun? At magiging, so mamatay tao ka na, hindi mo na naiintindihan Trinity, rapist ka na. Parang yun yung dating eh. Diba kaya when people justify sin in their life, they'll use one of those things that are obscure, that all of us don't understand, and because you cannot answer it, it justifies their life. Pwede na tayo maging criminal. Bakit? Hindi ko naiintindihan yung isang part ng Bible eh. That's not the way we should help our people throughout. We always have to have a humble disposition before God and say, God, as much as you've revealed to me, that's what I would respond to. And I would trust that the things you have not revealed to me now, it's okay. It's okay. Kaya nga, di ba, gustong-gusto ko yung verse ng Deuteronomy eh. Di ba, 29 ba yun? Yung the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things revealed are for you and your children so that you may obey. So there are things that will be hidden to us. But the things that are what? Revealed. And that's why as we study systematic theology, our hope is many things will be revealed to us progressively. And it gives us the basics or the foundation for revelation to come and as God quickens us. But however, alam pa rin natin na the secret things belong to the Lord. And hindi ko alam paano yung 3 naging 1. Hindi ko talaga hanggang ngayon. Pero yan ang revelation ni God eh. That's how God reveals Himself to us. The revelation is found in God's Word. Paano? Ang hirap intindihan eh. Yun ang revelation. Parang God has the right to reveal what He wants to reveal at a certain time. Para ikaw, pag nagpakilala ka, you have the right to withhold whatever you want to withhold from a person. And all of you knows this and have done this so far in your life. Whenever you get to know someone, you definitely have discretionary right to reveal what needs to be revealed. Hindi naman lahat na nakilala mo, pasok ko sa bahay, ito kwarto ko, ito yung wardrobe ko, by the way, hindi mo gagawin yan because you always, and as you get to know the person and you see the sincerity of the person wants to get to know you, there's progressive revelation of who you are. And so you want to reveal yourself to people on your terms, not on their terms. So kapag humarap tayo kay God, He reveals Himself to us on His terms, not on our terms. Kasi minsan parang pag may sumagot na sa atin ng mga kakaiba, hirap na tayo. Nga pala, no? Ikaw kasi, sinisina si God. Ang gulo mo kasi God, di ka rin na maintindihan eh. Kasama ka na, na-evangelize ka na. Pati tayo, parang sinisisi na rin natin. And when we are faced with, and of course, as we study theology, I believe there'll be a lot that we will learn. But nonetheless, I just want to tell you, in the things that I've read, and this is one of my passion to study theology, and dami ko pa rin hindi alam. Dami talaga. And that's why I've come to a place where, you know, you just humble yourself before God, and that you help people whenever they have very difficult questions. Kahit matapos tayo sa course na to, there will be things that we will be confronted with after we preach, during our counseling, during our decision making that all we have to say is this: okay, I don't know that yet, but what I know now and what's revealed to me by God, I will respond to that. And He reveals things to me on His terms and not on my terms. Yeah. Hopefully, that's a way that we would express. Kumbaga, pag sinabi kasi natin humility, humility sometimes is a very abstract word. Eh. But one way to practice humility is to say this: your terms, not mine. Your time, not mine. That's a very clear expression of humility. To say that, God, You call the shots. You say when and why and how. And so I hope that as we study theology, I know you have expectations maybe. Na pagkatapos ko nito, nako grabe, alam ko na, madami ko nang alam. But again, we will be confronted with all of these questions by our congregation, people we love, people we're raising up. Hopefully, tama yung attitude natin. Pagdala natin yung attitude na yan, tas i-impart natin yung attitude na yan, then even our people will go to the Bible and go to God with that kind of an attitude. Because it's not just that we impart knowledge, but the heart on how, the disposition of the heart when we face God and His Word. Okay, Beyonce, so I just wanted to say that as we start off with systematic theology. Because the danger of subjects like this is so knowledge-based. And alam naman natin, pag if we forget the aspects of love, grace, humility, knowledge will puff us up. Diba? And so hopefully I've given you certain things that would help you navigate through that and help your people impart that to our people so that they can navigate things like that, especially when faced with things too wonderful for them to fathom, no? Facing with God's Word. So that's systematic theology. Now, whether you like it or not, everyone has a theology. Every single person we face. So when we teach this to our people, whether they're skeptical about this or even when we preach about theology, whether they like it or not, they have a theology already. They have a belief about who God is, or even if there's no God, that's still a theology. So it may be unformed, scattered, or inconsistent. Like many of us today, medyo unformed pa siya. May mga parts pa rin ng word ni God, ng doctrines na parang hindi ko to ma-explain. It's unformed, it's scattered, inconsistent, but it is still a theology nonetheless. So, sabi dito, mayroong mga statement na, you know, ayoko masyado mag-theology kasi I tend to be more practical than theological. It's a theological statement. In itself. Ah, hindi ako masyado nag-aaral niya kasi, alam mo, ano ko eh, pastor ako, very practical ako. That's a theological statement in itself. Theologically, you're thinking that experience is better than the pursuit of the knowledge of God. It's a theological statement. Diba? So, nonetheless, whether we like it or not, we all make theological assertions. No? So, all of us have our own theology. Every significant decision is based on a theology. Kaya nga, decision makings, diba? How you structure your sermons is based on theological presupposition. Diba? Nung natutunan natin lahat, I think all of us, when Pastor Paul came, he was such a big help to us because he talked about how we look to Christ and the gospel always and not forget that our sermons are not just self-help. Pero dati, nung hindi pa natin alam yan, how many of us could remember a sermon that we have just shoved aside, deleted from our file, never to be remembered again because of the shame that it will produce in us? Pero alam natin, very, di ba, parang, nung nalalaman nyo ngayon, parang nangingilabot kayo, alam ni Pastor, kasi meron din ako noon. Marami nga eh. Pero because of what was taught to us, then, and that the scripture, all of that was to point to Christ, now we know how to structure a sermon. See, even the structure of a sermon is theological in nature. So we cannot escape. Basically, what we're saying is when we introduce theology to everyone is we cannot escape it whether we like it or else. Whether you like it or not. There's no whether you like it or else. It has consequences, kaya or else. Ang sinasabi, saying yan. So how you run your children's ministry is based on a certain theological presupposition. Siyempre, pag feeling mo, pag bata pa, mababait pa yan, walang original sin. Yan, it's a theological stand. So iba ang approach mo sa mga bata, di ba? Wag, kailangan mabait. It's all about the environment. It's nurture, not nature. Oh. Sabi naman ako, no, it's nature. It's not nurture. But the Bible says it's both. We have that nature, the deprived nature, but we also create a nurturing environment to help us grow in God. It's not one or the other when you look at the Word of God. So our theology dictates even our children's church ministry and how our children, how our teachers approach our children. Galing, no? So pagka naiisip pa lang, oh, grabe, parang sana matuto kaming lahat dito. Yes, all of us, I think, is on a journey to that, no? So our goal is to think about our theology and make sure we are thinking right about the important issues, especially pertaining to eternity. All right, so that's hopefully will happen to us here in this class. Now, number two, several characteristics of a good systematic theology. Ano ba yung mga characteristic ng good systematic theology? Number one, first bullet point. It seeks to understand the Bible as a whole rather than seeing verses in isolation. So, the systematic theology is the picture of a jigsaw puzzle box. Diba? Pagka may jigsaw puzzle ka, the only way all the part makes sense is if you see the whole first. Every cult in the world is based on getting one pet verse and making a religion out of that. Nabasa mo, Jesus is man. Paano na? Iglesia ka na. Kasi hindi may prescripture na God. Hindi. He is not God, but man. O superhero pala siya. Bakit? He is not God, but man. Hindi naman natin alam, Justice League pala siya. Our theology dictates that. So, sorry Paul ah. Pag bumalik si Paul dito, i-correct na lang yung lahat ng mga jokes na i-deposit natin sa inyo ngayon, di ba? Diba? Kasi yun ang sinasabi ng iglesia. They believe that Jesus is part of the Justice League. And that it is not Bruce Wayne that the secret identity. So, and because of that one doctrine, we've got all of these problems. Pero we have to see the whole, not just the part. Kaya nga, pag may kausap ako iglesia, sabihin ko, oh, Jesus is man. You're right. Wala akong problema. Congratulations. Thank you for figuring it out. Diba? I'm with you. But marami na kinatutunan yan, no? Actually, ito, pwede na eh. Uwi na tayo. Puno na kami sa theology namin. Sabi ni Paul, what have you been teaching these people? Okay. Pero ito, what I always tell the iglesia, without being, kasi when you make an assertion with the iglesia ni Cristo, ay, wala na. Tapos na. Hindi na Pero pag tinanong mo siya, mahihirapan siya. So, anong tingin mo sa verse na to? Then we'll talk about Colossians, that being in Philippians, being very nature God. So, how do you explain? Ikaw, anong tingin mo dyan sa word na yan? Ayun, pag-isipan natin. Eh, paano siya God? Hindi ko alam. Pero ito, do you believe the Bible? Yes. Do you believe that this is God's word? Yes. Okay. What does it say? He's man and he's God. So what is our conclusion? That he's both man and God. 100% God, 100% man. Not a mixture. 50-50, 75-25. It's 100%. How does that work? He's God. He's beyond us. If we could contain him in our minds, he's not much of a God. Sorry na lang. Kung yung Diyos mo, kaya mong ilagay dyan sa, if you can figure him out, ikaw na si Lord. Papako kita, pag nabuhay ka, worship kita. Pero, and then, totoo, di ba? Kasi, syempre, ang ganda ng mga claims niya. Okay na. Okay ng mga test. Ang ganda, galing mo, makarismatic ka. Oh, galing. May crowds, wow. So, pako na muna. After 3 days, pag umanga, ikaw nga si Lord, pwede na i-worship. Pero habang hindi pa nangyayari yan, may reservations pa rin tayo. Okay ba yan? Okay, so wag agad mag-follow. So that's one example of taking not just a part, but the whole counsel of Scripture. When we talk about grace, di ba? Sabi, hindi, New Testament lang yung grace. No. The Bible talks about what? Grace even at the start. Hindi nga pinatay si Adam and Eve. Anong tawag mo doon? Grace. So, it's the whole, not just a part. That's good systematic theology. Second, it attempts to relate the various portions of Scripture to one another and present them as a harmonious and coherent whole. Doon natin, kaya nga ano eh, it attempts to relate the various portions, yung fill-ins yung portions of Scripture to one another. Kaya nga pag kinausap mo yung isang taong hindi ginagawa to, feeling nila nag-aaway si James tsaka si Paul. Eh sabi ni James, without works, faith is, ano? Eh sinabi naman ni, di ba, sabi ni Paul, it's about all grace, not by works. Ay, magkaaway sila. But if you relate the whole thing, and if you study James, nakakatuwa, no? Bago niya sinabi na without, yung faith without works is dead, galing. The previous verses before that, he talks about Abraham. At alam mo, sinabi niya Abraham, faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Ginawa niyang reference yun. Even before Abraham did anything, God already credited to him as righteousness. But, and that faith, the outworking, was works. Faith precedes work. Kasi ang maraming nagsasabi ng iba na, siyempre, in Catholic, our tradition, it's work that produces your, na, kaya may work ka, kaya, you know, ano ni God, ika-credit sa'yo ni God yung faith. Hindi. Kaya mo maiintindihan yung faith without works is dead. Para ma-interpret mo siya na mabuti, interpret mo with the Bible and with Paul. Both of them actually agree because they would use Abraham. Eh, si Abraham, wala pa siyang ginagawa. Kaya nga sabi ko, okay, whenever I teach foundation, especially in Foundation for Victory Session 1, may James doon eh. Tapos ang dami mong mga ano, they came from our traditional Catholic faith. And I would always take James and I'll tell them, oh, before we read faith without works is dead, let's look at the previous verse and let's see what this means. Because we let the Bible interpret the Bible, not what we feel like. Kasi kung feeling mo ang gauge sa systematic theology, pag yun ang feeling mo dapat mag-work ka. Kaya, kailangan work ka kasi faith without works is dead. Ang sinasabi niya, may faith ka muna and later on, works will come out. And alive talaga yung faith mo, but faith precedes work. Hindi work precedes faith. Paano mo nalaman? Eh, sabi kay Abraham eh. Wala pa siyang ginagawa, na-credit na sa kanya. Hindi ako nagsabi noon, si James din. So, they're not arguing with you. They're arguing with who? The one who wrote the very same verse they're using to justify that works. So, we let portions of the Bible work with one another. That's a good, what you call good systematic theology. Hindi yung, may one verse ka na, eh, nasusulat eh. Alien, hindi ganon. Eh, ito yung nasusulat eh. Sinabi dito. Hindi nga eh. Let's look at other portions of God's Word. Let's see how they work together. Di ba? Basa. Yan, yan, diba? Alien ba, di ba? Raise the roof, no? Third point. Another characteristic of a good systematic theology is it addresses the question and challenges that people are currently facing. Ibig sabihin, every study of theology must have relevance. Kahit sa preaching, eh. Ganda ng mga sinabi mo, pero pag-uwi, paano ko ba apply? Kailangan may relevance. So, why are we studying this part? Several characteristics of good systematic theology. It's because not only classic Christianity has systematic theology. But manood ka lang ng ang dating daan, may historic ano pa sila, may mga picture pa sila. They really, even Iglesia ni Cristo, and they attach themselves to historic Christianity. Ah, we are the ones who came from them. Meron na silang ganun. They have their own systematic theology. And as ministers, we must have the ability to not just, you know, receive, but to be able to critique a theology when it's presented to us, a systematic theology. Because we are not the only ones who have that. We're not the only, dito lang sa Victory or sa Body of Christ lang tayo merong yan. No. Even cults can present. If you just go deeper into them, you talk to their leaders, they have their own systematic theology. And so we must have a grid by which we assess or see how they have done their theology. And most of them, they fail on how looking at the whole. They fail on how Scripture should interpret Scripture. They fail on that. Because you would see just one verse, and they have voluminous writing on that one verse. Putting in their understanding, their opinions. So that's very dangerous. And so that's why we want, as we look at the introduction to systematic theology, kailangan alam natin what characterizes good systematic theology. Para pagka next time, how many of you sometimes you go to, you listen to podcasts of other teachers? Lahat tayo. Kasi we want to learn eh. Diba? Pero hopefully, may criteria tayo. Pag pinapakinggan din natin sila, we're like the Bereans. We're observing. We're thinking. Paano ba niya sinabi to? Hindi lang yung parang, maganda naman ang sinabi niya. Ganda naman. Okay naman yun. Magaganda. And marami sa kanila, ang galing ng delivery. Pero it's not just enough that they have good delivery. They must have good content. And we must be able to assess content, not just delivery. And so this is very good for all of us. Para whenever, and I'm sure all of us will, come time, will listen also to other theologians. But rest assured that in EN, we're trying to have an EN university. We'll also have our own resource already. We're building that. So that tayo, we'll get the theologians of our movement, not just in the Philippines, but the whole world, gather them together. So we will also have our material through the grid of our culture, mission, vision, and values as well. No? Pero that's still on the work. So at least ngayon, if you go to Wayne Grudem, which is, I think, a very good resource, very grounded on Scripture, we will be able to assess the doctrines that are taught. Okay, so that's at least for number two, no? As we look at the characteristics of good systematic theology. Number three, there are several results of a good systematic theology. So ano yung result pag maganda yung systematic theology? Number one, a good systematic theology will help us make right choices based on accurate biblical information. Right choices based on what? Right counsel based on what? Accurate biblical information. Because you looked at the whole, not just the part. You let portions speak to one another. The Bible is written by different authors in different times from different walks of life. That's like talking to different people. And all of these people, who's an engineer, who's a doctor, who's rich and poor and all that, say it's the same thing. Parehong pareho. If you look at the Bible, it's like talking to those kinds of people. Kaya nga, the Bible is what? Not just a book, it's a group of books. It's a collection of books. Bible, that's, Biblios means that the original word of Bible, which is Biblios, means a collection of books. And written by people. So, parang kinodify lang nila yung sinasabi nila. And so today, that would be similar to asking for a take on an event, someone, or witnesses to an event, talking to different one, but they're from different walks of life, different ages, different economic strata, but to your surprise and bewilderment, they say the same thing. And that's why that makes up good theology, God somehow, and it gives us an accurate view of biblical information. A good systematic theology will help us defend the historic event, historic faith against error. Defend, okay? A good systematic theology. So it is also the basis for good apologetics. Again, sinabi ko naman, nag-flip na siya, no? Since na-systematize na lahat, in-study muna natin theology, get our thinking right, and then we'll teach how to defend the faith then. So bumaliktad na tayo ngayon pag in-study na natin, finormalize na natin yung study. This will become increasingly more important as we gain greater influence in the nation and the world. How many of you know that you'll gain influence in your city? Wala. Okay, wala tayo. Talagang tayo-tayo lang, you know. We'll sing Kumbaya together. Yeah, but I believe every one of us, I believe God's going to use us in our cities. He will grant us access to the corridors of power, and we must be able to defend the faith. It's always a privilege when I'm given a chance to speak to our leaders, Comelec, wherever that is, you know, pag wedding ka, Ngayon, makikita mo na yung vice president, yung mga senators nandoon. Then do you have a chance to speak of God's word? A good systematic theology will help us follow God more. Sabi nga sa one-to-one, the more you know Him, the more you will trust Him. Diba? Kasi the more it's built in us, the more we'll say, oh nga, no, tama, it makes sense. And then the progressive revelation of God, the more we know about Him, a good systematic theology will help us follow God more. Now let's look at bibliology. Any questions so far about our intro to systematic theology? Does that make sense to all of you? No. Okay. All right. Great. Now let's go to bibliology. Let's go to this collection of books, historic account, the inspired word of God, which we bring Sunday after Sunday in the pulpit. Kaya nga ako, I always bring that. I always open and read it. I just want to somehow have that feel with all of the technology. Kasi dami ng technology sa surroundings natin. May mga bumper video tayo, may mga moving lights tayo. It's always good to have a mix of two. Eh. And then you come up with your Bible. You open it and you read it to them. So let's look at this, bibliology. Hirap kasi pagka ano eh, hindi mo buksan yung iPad eh. Hindi mo ma-flip eh. On-off lang, di halata. Diba? Pero iba talaga when you, somehow there's just, I don't know about you, but for me, it's an impartation, I think, that happens when we do that. But again, I'm not against if you're using your iPad, it's also okay. For me, it's just something that I dip a sense in me, okay? So number one, bibliology is the theological study of the Word of God. So bibliology consists of the following, and this which we will study for the next few minutes. Revelation, inspiration, inerrancy, illumination, interpretation. So when you talk about bibliology, it consists of the following. Now, it consists of revelation, inspiration, inerrancy, illumination, interpretation. So we will look at that one by one. So let's look at the doctrine of revelation. So it has, pag sinama mong bibliology, it has these doctrines, these five doctrines. The doctrine of revelation, the doctrine of inspiration, the doctrine of inerrancy, the doctrine of illumination, and the doctrine of interpretation. Okay, so what does the doctrine of revelation teach us? Well, it teaches that God reveals Himself to mankind in such a way that we can know Him and fellowship with Him. And what is the goal of revelation? to know God and to make Him known. Yun lang ang end goal ng revelation. Hindi yung parang dami kong alam ah. Mas marami kong alam sa iyo, hindi 'yon. Although, siyempre, many really study because they want to gain knowledge. And there's nothing wrong per se on a desire to gain knowledge. But what becomes a problem is what's the motivation about the gain of that knowledge? Is it to be better than others? To know something more than... Or is it so that I could know more God more and make Him known to others? So that's the goal of revelation. Now... Sabi ni J.I. Packer, nobody would know the truth about God or be able to relate to Him in a personal way had not God, look at this, first acted to make Himself known. That's what I was saying a while ago. I don't know if you remember, I said, when God reveals Himself to you, He reveals Himself on His terms, in His own time, and He initiates that. Kaya minsan parang ang arrogant natin if we feel like we figured out God. If we feel like we have a doctrine that explains everything about Jesus. And there's many cults that are like that. Feeling na alam na nila lahat. Tayo, we leave room. We leave a lot of room to say, hey, there's just a lot of things I still don't know about God. That's how big He is. It's like an ocean in a bucket. Hindi talaga kaya. Kaya ang dami nating question na, bakit? Because it's an ocean in a bucket. Diba? Pasensya na kayo, no? Kung saan napupunta, no? Sorry. Pero yun yung ano. And it's arrogant for us to come to a place where we say, you know, alam na namin. Nasa isang ano, nasa manual ko na lahat. Ah, so si God nasa manual.
ano siya, kotse? Di ba? Alam mo lahat? Eh, yung manual nga ng kotse, hindi mo naman alam yung combustion, di ba? How, what happens? The air-to-fuel ratio that's required for the proper explosion and the expansion of gas. PV is equal to NRT so that the piston will move and that your car, it changes rotational motion into linear motion. Meron nun? Ano yun? Saan ang galing yun? Ganun si Lord. Mas matindi pa dun. Tapos isipin natin sa manual si Lord. Yan yung gusto sa ating paalam ng mga, when people arrogantly say they figured out God, that's, it's like saying that. Eh, yung creation lang nga na kotse, eh. Hindi mo na ma-fathom eh. Si God pa. Parang, ikaw na magaling. Anyari dyan. Diba? Yun yung ano natin eh. So, but ito yung maganda kay God. He reveals himself to us. Ito yung matindi. In our everyday life, eh yung asawa mo nga, you do not know everything that can be known about your wife. Asawa mo na to ha. And the two shall become one. Hindi mo alam. Hindi mo, ito si God pa. Ito ang pinaka-intimate relationship mo, ilang buhok ng asawa. Ilan? Sige, sa kilay na lang. Left na kilay lang. O, hindi pa alam, di ba? Di ba? Sige, buhok sa ilong. Mga ganun, di ba? Kaya kahit saan na. Hindi mo nga alam eh. Tapos sabi mo, si God, alam mo. So it's really the height of arrogance to think that we have such knowledge contained in one manual, on a paper, a piece of paper like that. Hindi talaga kaya. And that's why we should be ready to receive and say, you know, God, thank you for the things that you've revealed to me. Lord, whatever that little thing you've revealed to me, I'll be faithful with that, and I'll do everything I am to love you with all of my heart, soul, strength, with that little knowledge of you. That's what we do here, by the grace of God and the power of grace called. Este, power of the Holy Spirit. Sorry. Okay, cut that out from the, ano, from the feed. Manining the pastor say, power of grace called, we have that. He-man. And the masters. Sorry lang, alam ko iba sa inyo parang, ano ba ta? Theology pala talaga to o ano? Now, when we talk about revelation, there's what you call, there are two kinds of revelation. So, I'll first talk about the first one. The first one is general revelation. Kasi may general and special eh. So, general muna tayo. And I know many of you have studied about this, but let's take a look. General revelation is God's communication of himself to all person at all times and in all places. There are three manifestations of general revelation: nature, providence, and conscience. Galing. So when you talk about revelation, oh, in fact, can I just say this before I forget? Kung gusto natin maging technical pala about bibliology, there are no new revelations already. Kasi sometimes when we talk, we use revelation in this manner. We have a revelation from God. In reality, when the Bible and the canon of Scripture was closed, revelation was closed. Yun na. All, everything, it's there. So, but parang may natutunan ba? That's called illumination. In later na doctrine. Okay? So, kung gusto lang natin maging technical about it. Now, again, it's not saying na, baguhin na natin language natin. Uy, brother, na-illuminate ako. Okay naman yon. Pwede na rin. Di ba? Kasi I have to be technically correct and theologically sound. You know, bro, I have an illumination to share. Okay. Pero in theological terms, ibig sabihin, pagkausap mo theologian at bibliology yung scope ninyo, revelation is closed. Wala ka nang pwedeng, not a title, not a dot, can be added nor taken away from his word. Yun na, ito na yun, scripture. Revelation, that's it. Everything God wants to say to the generations, for all of us, it's already there. Doctrine of revelation. Okay? So yung progressive revelation na sinasabi natin at ginagamit natin at ginagamit sa some books, it's really progressive illumination. Yun yung technical term sa kanya. So para lang hindi tayo malito, especially when we read theology books, this is just to help you navigate through it, especially when you talk about this. No? So the doctrine of revelation, no? General revelation is God's communication of himself to all people, and it has three manifestations: nature, providence, and conscience. John Calvin says this: to prevent anyone from taking refuge in the pretense of ignorance, di ba? Many people take refuge in the pretense of ignorance. Eh, hindi ko naman alam eh. Ito sabi niya, God himself has implanted in all men a certain understanding of his divine majesty. This is a complicated way of saying that there's a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts. Have you ever said that in a preaching? That's a complicated way of saying it. Si John Calvin, kasi very eloquent siya, di ba? It's one of our forefathers. No? A sense of divinity is by nature engraven on the human hearts. Oh, bigat na mga words, no? Pero sinasabi lang niya, meron talagang, oh, yun lang yun, no? Para masaya na lang tayo, no? Pero, wow, grabe, flowery words. I sound like a theologian. Yan ang dating nito. In Latin, it's called sensus divinitas. There's a sense of the divine in all of us. So, kasi nature, if you look at Romans, nature reveals God's, in your fill-ins, God's glory. So, first, diba nature, it reveals God's glory. In Acts 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Actually, if you look at it, an ignorant, kasi the nature is so screaming about God, there's no, you cannot deny. But this verse tells us, I think in verse 18 is, the issue is not that there's no knowledge of God or a sense of the divine. The issue is we suppress the truth because of what? Our sins. We want to justify our sins. Actually, sumisigaw yan everywhere they go. There's a God. There's a God. In the morning when the sun rises, there's a God. It's always there's a God. There's a God. But they will suppress it because they want to continue in their ways. That's why the Bible says here, if you read Romans, they have been given over to their passion or their depraved minds. In fact, there was this guy, I don't know where I read this. He was ministering to homosexuals, no? So ministering. And some of these people, when you talk to them, I've talked to some, and they would say, ito talaga yung nature ko eh. I can't do anything about it. So dati, he would argue, no, that's not how God made you, ganun. So, speak niya. Tapos nung nabasa niya itong verse na to, nagbago siya. So the next time he went, this is what he said. You know you're right. You cannot. Why? Given over ka na nga eh. Tapos papakita niyo yung verse na to. You've been given over because of your... That's hoping that the knowledge of this verse would turn around. Yung masishock siya. Kaya pala ganito na ako mag-isip. Because I've been suppressing the truth. And God has given me over. So nag-agree na siya. Tama ka naman. Dati ina-argue niya against it. Because why? The nature reveals that there's a God and you cannot accuse him differently. You cannot suppress him. You cannot tell otherwise. So, sabi, nature reveals God. Nature, even our makeup, male, female, that's nature. Kaya nga, when we start preaching uncensored, simple lang. Huwag na natin tirahin ng LGBT, sabihin lang natin, male, female. Enough said. Moving on. Kasi we don't need to what? We don't need to talk and bash them and all that. All we need to say, It's already been said. Male, female. Male, female. Male, female. Mama, male. Give me some scratch now. Mama, male, female. So you gotta give them some scratch. After magawin yon, moving on to the verse. Yan, di ba? So they have a few laugh. They go home. They say male, female. Nga lang pala, no? Anyway, so that's the nature reveals God's glory. So, sabi nga dito, it's clearly, the verse says, clearly seen. You know, have been clearly seen after the creation. There's no denying. So, second, providence reveals God's love. So, another way God reveals himself is providence. Sabi dito, he causes the sun, his sun, to rise on evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, just the same. You see, rain, sun, it falls. Kaya nga minsan kahit ang atheist, pag may magandang nangyari, ay, thank God. Atheist siya, pero napapa-thank God siya. Because providence, totoo, di ba? Tapos pag kulang na kulang sila, ano sila? Pag wala na silang mahawakan, Lord, kung nandyan ka, sino kausap mo? Di ba atheist ka? Lord, kung nandyan ka, eh, ba't mo kausap? See, why, you know, because there's a sense of God, and once providence either given or taken away, it causes you. Because it's God's love. It's like love being taken away or given. So every one of us has a sense of that. That's a general revelation of God. And we get anyone who's alive cannot deny that, although they will try to, just to justify again the way they're living. But that's part of general revelation. So again, nature reveals God's glory. Providence reveals God's love. Ganda, ni-reveal niya sarili niya. Oh, I love. This is my love. This is my glory. Last, conscience reveals God's holiness. Kaya yung conscience mo, anong ginagawa every time? Pag may ginagawa, alam mo mali eh. Because you're set apart. You're not, especially, you know, when we're gonna, let's talk about, you know, uncensored, you know, one of the biggest issue nowadays is sexual sin. And so in your mind, you know, holiness means you're set apart. You're not supposed to do this. And ano yung, and it reveals. Alam natin eh. Pero we would continue to do what's wrong. We'll suppress that. Because we want to continue with our, yung pleasure na gusto natin. But our conscience? Bakit conscience? Cons means no science. No science can explain that. It's conscience. Diba? No one can explain your conscience. Ang hirap explaining conscience mo. Ano, chemical yan? It's chemical reaction. Nag-mix ka na ba ng reaction ng chemical? Biglang, no, yes. Bad. Good. Wala, di ba? Because the conscience is God's way of revealing His holiness. That we are men, we're not just animals. That in creation, we are set apart. Pero ano ba ang accusation sa mga Kristiyano ngayon? We are such primitive thinkers. Kasi ang mga free thinkers, they're the progressive ones, you know. We're progressive, LGBT, you know, where's the love? Everyone, just do it with anyone. Sabi nila, progressive. Now, let me just tell you, I'll preach this in the uncensored to let our people know. In reality, whenever there's a primitive civilization, sex is wrong. In Corinth, all things are permissible, everything, that's the... Then Christianity comes in, the gospel comes in. Sex is elevated, marriage is elevated. What happened? They progressed. So who's the progressive thinker? The Christians are the progressive thinker. Because apart from the gospel, what happens is what you're proposing. So you're proposing being primitive. The free thinkers are actually, who's accusing us of primitive, are actually espousing a primitive way. Because historically, whenever the gospel enters a civilization, ladies and gentlemen, progress happens. The dignity of humanity is raised. We are the progressive thinkers. And I'm not going to argue. Let history be a witness of how the gospel has caused people in their primitive ways, objectifying women, all of that. Wow, dumating ang Christianity, nagka-dignity, tumaas. Sino kaya ang progressive? At tanong lang naman. So what is the free thinkers proposing to us? That we regress, not progress, to become primitive. Because history will teach us that was what they're proposing is the primitive way. We need to tell that to our people today. We're not, kasi minsan pag nasabihan kang, hindi ka free thinker, primitive ka, yung mga Christians, oh talaga, napakabobo ko talaga. Tayo yung nai-evangelize eh. Tayo yung parang talo. Di ba parang tayo pa yung nag-apologize that we are standing for this. Failing to understand, if we just study history, no. Excuse me. History, I'm not me. History shows. Whenever the gospel comes in. Kaya nga sa Corinth, umangat. Kasi no, si Aphrodite pa yung yung in-worship nila, gulo-gulo nila. Primitive sila. Eh dumating si Paul, naging progressive. Sino ang progressive thinkers? Christians. Christians ang progressive thinkers. That's the reality of it. But the world will flip it against us. Basahin niyo mga freethinkers.com or just tingin lang kayo mga freethinkers. That's what they think about us. But, you know, it only takes history to disprove that. Because why? Grabe. Kahit sila, alam nila tama tayo. Bakit? May conscience sila. It reveals God's holiness. Conscience. Bago na, conscience po yun. Mga invento ko lang po yun. Pagpasensyahan nyo na po. Pagka medyo na-flip. Oh, when is our break pala? Sorry, sometimes I go on without, ano. Do we supposed to have a break muna? Para just to, you know. Alright, 10-minute break. Be back at 2:40.